God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is our refuge, a place of safety, of protection? Sometimes it's pretty hard to grasp that. Sometimes it's pretty hard for me to take that into my own life and really understand what that means. That through all the things around me, all the difficult things of life, all the problems, there's a place of refuge for me. And I love the way that that David puts this. He talks about this habitation, this holy dwelling, this holy city. And what he's talking about is his church. That within the church of God, there is protection. There's refuge. There's shelter from the storm. I don't have to ask for a show of hands on how many of you have been through storms this year? Give me the most recent storm, right? He's been through it just in the past week. I can go through the room and I can look at every single one of you. I can probably just, with the limited knowledge that I have, I can say some storms that you've been through just in this past year. Some things that we struggle with. The problems of life. But it's comforting to know that there is a place of refuge. Have you ever gotten caught in a rainstorm and you didn't realize it was going to rain just like all of a sudden? I can remember very vividly, and there's about five or six people in this room that will remember this story. We were at an amusement park one time, and a lot of us were in line for a ride, or we're in the amusement park just having a good time, and then all of a sudden, I mean, boom, this storm just came in, and it was the most torrential downpour I've ever seen. There was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to go. And you'd run through the park, and you would get to a place, and it was packed. Every place that had any shelter was packed. And so you're just like, oh, well, I'll just get wet. But, I mean, the lightning was going, and the wind was blowing, and the thunder was, it was awful. And within just minutes, actually, this has happened twice. It happened just this past year, too, didn't it? Within minutes, the water was up over your ankles. Tried to get back to the bus as a place of refuge, and we couldn't even get to the bus because the parking lot was so flooded. All I wanted was a place of safety, a place of refuge. And I can't imagine what it would be like, spiritually speaking, to be in a place where there was no safety, there was no protection, there was no refuge. Yet, millions in this world live their lives, and they go through the same problems that we go through. They have the same storms of life, and they have nowhere to run. Nowhere to turn. Sometimes we as Christians, we choose not to turn to that place, but it's there for us. Where would you be without this church family? Without a church family that loves you? A place of safety, a place of refuge. No matter what I've done, I can come to this place and I can feel protection and I can feel love and I can feel acceptance. Now, I might get a kick in the pants every now and then for some of the things that I'm involved in, and I totally expect that, especially from a couple in here. They better treat me like that. But a place of safety, of refuge. This past year for me has been, I think, one of the biggest years of change that I've had in several years. As you guys well know, you know some of the things that have gone on in my life this year. And watching a daughter go away to college. And going through a job change or whatever. Not really change, but addition. I don't know what you call it anyway. Having some financial issues this year and going through some things maybe that some of you don't know about. And it's like one thing after my stupid leg got hurt, you know, in a fluke accident and caused me so much pain and so much problem for a few months. And it just seems like one thing after leads to another. Then, you know, I have a wreck, and then the church van gets stolen and wrecked. And then this week I had the water main break down in the, you know, it's just like, really? God, come on. We can only take so much. You know, but really that's the wrong comment to make. Because problems are going to happen to all of us, and God doesn't cause them. God doesn't cause our problems. God is our only relief from our problems. He's the only refuge, the only shelter that we have. Can't run from my problems, but I can run to God. And I think about the storm going on all around me, and I can hide under the shelter, and the storm is still there, but I'm being protected by it. This is an emotional day for our family. Courtney's going back to school today after being here for a month. I hate these long breaks. You get used to her being back, you know, sitting in her same old chair, you know, watching her same old stuff she watches on TV, you know, getting up at 2:00 in the afternoon, you know, just... same old, you know, you just get used to it again. Not that we ever got used to her being gone, but we had sort of started dealing with it. And now she's been back, and now we got to watch her leave again. I'm very frustrated and upset that we got to watch Mr. Brandon leave this week. Going back to Cambodia. And I know that it's a fantastic thing for him, Brandon, but it's horrible for us. I just want you to know that. It's horrible for us that you're leaving. We miss you when you're gone. Greatly, we miss you. Last night, we were getting ready for bed, and we had already said goodnight to Courtney, and she'd gone up to bed. And then she came down, and I heard her crying, and we came into our room, and she had found out that one of her club members at Harding had a wreck and died last night on the way to school. And so it's just kind of one of those things where you're just kind of enveloped in, you know, what's going on? Dealing with trouble, dealing with the issues and problems of life. The verse that I have come to hold on to more than any verse, and I've actually had this thing in our Bible class at school where one day we went and we were asking each other, what's your favorite verse and why? And honestly, a lot of the kids... they didn't know. They didn't have a verse. You know, they didn't really even know the Bible well enough to have a verse that was their favorite verse. But some of them, you know, they were able to tell their verse and why it was there. And I went, well, what's your favorite verse, Mr. Dave? And it doesn't take me long to tell people the verse that is my favorite. And it's contained in the verses that Chris read earlier. And it's Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Knowing that there is purpose, there is a plan involved in all the problems. Before we get into a little bit about the verse, I want to just kind of give a little context of this verse. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is talking to the Christians about what the Spirit does for us. Anybody in here have a full grasp upon what the Holy Spirit does and how, you know, how He works in our lives? It's one of the most confusing and difficult and complicated, complex part, I think, of how we understand God is, how does His Spirit work? You know, I know the Spirit works in ways that I can't possibly understand. And what Paul is saying here is, let me tell you some things about what the Spirit is doing. Number one, that you cannot do for yourself. And number two, you can't put your finger on it all the time. Oh yeah, I see the Spirit working. We can't always do that. In chapter 8, verse 11, Paul says that the Spirit gives us life. He says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the first thing, the Spirit gives us life. Number two, the Spirit gives us relationship. Chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So there's a little bit of a clue about why we suffer. Why do we go through problems? Why do we have these issues of life? He says, because our suffering makes us more like Christ. Number three, the Spirit gives me hope. Chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Talking about this idea of hope, I want to give you this. This morning on the way to church, Fred Latham called me from Rivergate and said that Blake's mom had fallen in the parking lot at Rivergate this morning. So I called Blake and they took her to the emergency room. They've run CT and x-rays. Everything came back normal. It says that they're putting two stitches in her forehead and that she has may have some kind of a sprained or broken shoulder. So let's just keep her in our... That's Carol Southall. Anyway. So He gives me hope. And then the last thing I want to spend a little bit of time on is that He gives me help. The Spirit gives me help. Look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Honestly, I don't know what to pray for most of the time. When a situation occurs, what do we pray for? Do we pray that we're relieved from that situation? Do we ask for praise? Do we give praise to God because He's putting us through the suffering that we're going through? What do we pray for? In some way, the Spirit looks into my heart and He knows what I need. And it says He intercedes on my behalf before God. Spirit helps in the weakness I have trying to recognize God's purpose and plan for me. I don't know what God wants. I don't know His plan. I know parts of it, but I don't know everything about what He needs and wants from me. And so it says the Spirit then intercedes on my behalf before God in ways I can't even understand. And I believe one of those ways in the very next verse is the verse we read. I believe one of those ways is that He intercedes, asking God for what would be best for me, whether it be going through the problem or whether it be relieving me from the problem. But that all the things that happen in my life work together for my good. They definitely won't all be good. I can tell you that, and you know that well enough in your own life. But they work together in God's plan. I wish I had a blueprint of what it was. I probably couldn't read it or understand it, but I wish I knew. God doesn't tell us those things. couple of things about the verse that I wanted to point out before I give us some application. The first thing is, in verse 28, he says, "And we know." He didn't say, "I think," "I hope," "I wish." He says, "And we can know that God is working all things together for good." I can have some confidence in that. And the confidence is not in anything other than that God keeps His promises. I always try to keep my promises, but I don't always do it. Even with the best of intentions, we don't follow through on the things that we promise a lot of times. But God has proven again and again and again that He keeps His promises. What He says will not come out in vain. He will keep what He says. And so I can know that this is going to happen. Second thing it says, and we know that for those who love God, He's not talking to everyone. Those that don't love God, He doesn't work all things together for good for them. Matter of fact, I think sometimes He allows bad things to happen to people so that they will wake up, that they will open their eyes to Him. Ever happened to you? You ever been smacked in the face by God? And not literally, but by some of the things that I've got myself involved in, by some of the things that have happened to me in life, it has opened my eyes, as Sean talked last week, not my physical eyes, but opened the eyes of my heart to God. But He says, to those that know Him. And when He says those that know Him, there are many, many passages that talk about what that means. If you know God, you will what? Keep His commandments. Those that keep my commandments are the ones that know me, are the ones that love me. Those are the ones that seek to do my will in their life. I hate to break it to the world and to some of us, God does not bless those who do not love Him. He does not work for your good. Third, it says, all things work. I can take a conglomerate and look at everything and say, you know, God is working it all for my good. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bleak it seems, no matter how good it is, God is working it for the good. All things. But He says they work together. And sometimes that takes patience. Why am I going through 5 bad things in a row and not one good thing? Come on, God, at least give me one good thing so that I can offset some of the bad things. Well, you look back over the course of time and you see that those things were weaving themselves together for good. You ever been through something bad and a little bit later you look back and you say, aha, I see what you were doing, God. I have a little glimpse of what you were trying to accomplish. And then last, He says, to those who are called according to His purpose. What does that mean? He talks a little bit toward the later, He talks about that those who are called have been predestined. And basically what the Scripture identifies that as is those who have accepted God's Word. Those who have listened to Him, have accepted His salvation into their life. Acts chapter 2 talks about this same idea about those who, to everyone who is called, everyone who comes to Jesus, everyone who comes to Him asking for salvation. It's not just a blanket that everyone in the world, as God's quote-unquote children, that God's working for their good. That it's to those who are called according to His purpose. I'm going to make just three observations real quick about this verse, and then we'll close. The first one is that God works for our own good, even in our stupidity. I couldn't think of any better word to use for what I do sometimes. Stupidity. Knowing even that what I do is bad for me, detrimental to the life I'm trying to lead. As far as God is concerned. Knowing that it goes in direct opposite of His will for me. Even clear Scripture. Sometimes I'm just stupid. And I'm not saying we. Okay, I'm not talking about any of you guys. I'm talking about me. If you want to agree with that, then you can shake your head and agree. Kim is shaking her head and pointing at Jeff. So, oh, you're with me. Okay, good. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Maybe it's just me. Let me change that. Stupid decisions. We make dumb decisions. And those decisions, they send us further away from God. And they cause us problems. How many times have you had been in a problem in your life that you caused yourself? Lots of times for me. Sometimes it's sin. Certain sins that we get ourselves caught up in. And we all know how that works. There are certain things that attract me. There are certain sins that are more tempting than others and that I keep myself falling into again and again and again. And my life is a course of trying my best to figure out ways to try to avoid that sin. Because that sin is causing a wedge between me and God. Sometimes we want to follow our own will. We think we're smarter than God. Well, I know God says that, but you know, that can't be the truth. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, the great decisions that I make, I've got to be smarter than God. And so people just follow their own path and their own will. When I think about someone in the Bible that fits perfectly in this category, I think of Samson. God called him from the very beginning of his life to a specific purpose. And this purpose was to begin the defeat of the Philistines. Samson was given such an awesome gift, wasn't he? Wouldn't you like to do what he did? Man, that would be awesome. But what the gift that God gave him went directly to his head. And he began to make stupid decisions. And he caused most of the issues of his life, he caused himself. And he began to do his own thing. Even against the wishes of his parents and against the obvious wishings of God, he began to fall away. Even to the point of losing the gift that God had given him. Because of his own stupidity. It's like one of those movies that you're watching and you're like, you don't walk down a dark hallway at night, right? Those horror movies or ladies at home. Oh, I hear a sound. Let me walk into the basement. You know, everybody's going, don't do it. Samson, where do you get your strength from, honey? Don't tell her. She's evil. Tells her anyway, because he was stupid. And he loses the gift that God gave him. But yet, God wasn't done with Samson yet. And because of all the bad decisions, he had several moments to walk around a millstone of thinking. Sometimes that's what it takes for us. Have some time to just kind of come to your senses and think, you know what? I'm not in a great place. Greatest man in Israel, walking around a millstone, you know, not in a good place. But God wasn't done with Samson. And when Samson decided to go back to God's will and follow his will again, God used him powerfully. Samson ended his life in a victory. Said in the book of Hebrews in our junior classes last semester, and get to the chapter 11, and guess who's included in that chapter? As stupid and ignorant as he was for most of his life, Samson is included in that chapter as being a man of faith. Gives me hope. Gives me hope. Second, God works for our good even in bad circumstance. You know, there are things that happen to us we just can't control. Last Sunday, just sitting at a red light, some dude hit me in the back. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't swerve. I didn't slam on my brakes. I was just sitting there. And Nehemiah and Antoine can attest to it. I was not driving crazily, was I? You better answer it right. Although I wasn't just all of a sudden, we're just sitting there yapping away and whoom in the back. How many of those things have happened to you? Not maybe figuratively a slam in the back in your car, but in your life. Something that's happened to you you can't control. An illness. Someone's in your family, a death or a problem that they're going through. Some kind of other issue that we have zero control over. Some things are just not fair. They're just not fair. I had a Bible teacher when I was growing up, and he said, "Son, the one he always says this in our classes, the one thing you're going to realize, and you're going to come to find out, life's not fair. There are things that happen to us that we can't explain. They're not our fault, but yet they happen. And sometimes they totally affect our life." When I think of someone like this, I think of a person, and we've had at least two full sermons talking about this person. I think about Joseph. Joseph ended up in the positions he was in because of other people. Not because of his own life, because of anything he did. Joseph did everything right, and things kept happening to him that were bad. And you can imagine Joseph as he's sitting there. And one of the things we got to realize about God is he does things in his own time. Joseph sits in the prison for 2 years. "Okay, God, I get the point. Okay, I got you. I'm gonna follow you harder. Just go ahead and get me out of this place." 2 years. Sits in there waiting. He had done everything right, and yet things happened to him that were out of his control. Number three, God works for our good even when Satan and others are working against us. One of the things I've come to conclude is that the more I try to follow God, the harder Satan works against me. You know, there are people that God doesn't really go after, because he's probably going to get them anyway. Even Christians. There are certain Christians that, you know, they're not really trying to follow God with all their heart, and so that he doesn't really have to try his heart. So maybe we could take it as a compliment when things come our way. We can take it as, you know, God allowing me to be tested above what I think I can stand. The obvious person in this is, you think about Job. Did Job do anything to deserve the things that happened to him? It was Satan. Satan's direct hand was punishing him, trying to get him to turn against God. And of course, Job didn't turn. He didn't listen. There are people in this world who do not want us to succeed. Ask the Duck Dynasty guys. There are people out there that, I mean, they're just trying to get us because of what we believe. Because of what we stand for. And the challenge for us is to be in that world with them and to be able to stand against that. But yet, there are people who are going to punish you in your jobs and in your friendships, your relationships. There are going to be people who are going to punish you for what you stand for. Stand up for something God says. Sometimes we're going to be punished for it. But God, I did what you said. I stood up for your word, and that I'm suffering punishment for it. I got fired from my job, or I'm receiving discrimination, or I'm this, or I'm that. There are people that are working against us. But here's what we have to remember. We have a place of refuge. Have a place of strength, a place of comfort, a place of protection. And it's not out there. It's within the body of Christ. This is where God dwells. He's in the center of us. And He wants to protect us. He wants to be our place of refuge and strength. The question is, will I allow Him to do that? So many times when I face these issues, whether it's caused by my own stupidity, or whether it's bad circumstances, or whether it's Satan working against me, too often I run the other direction. And I blame God for these things instead of coming to Him for strength and refuge. All things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Would you bow with me? God, I thank You for The fact that we can come to you as our strength and as our refuge. Father, I know that too many times I run the other way and I don't take advantage of the protection that you offer me. Not from the trouble. I know, Father, that I'm going to face trials and I'm going to face trouble and difficulties. But Father, I know that through you I can have victory over these things. That I can take shelter. Not only with you, Father, but in your church. With this family here that I can spend time with and I can love and we can encourage each other through all of our bad problems and all of our difficulties and praise with each other in all of our victories. Pray, Father, that you continue to help. Continue to watch over us. Continue to protect us. As we seek to follow you, as we seek to be the called out ones that you have called us to be. Father, I want to say a special prayer this morning for the family of Kaylee Massey. I absolutely cannot imagine what they're going through today. And I pray, Father, that you would bless them, that you would give them this sense of comfort, that they would turn to you even in this thing that they don't understand. I pray that you would watch over them, give them comfort and strength. Also, Father, I pray this morning for Carol Southall and for that family as she has had this problem. I pray that you would watch over her today as she goes through these tests and whatever else she's going to have to go through. I pray for Blake and Sarah as they're there to help support her. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. You know, as difficult as it is to think about, Kaylee today, all things have worked together for her good. Whether I want to think about that in that way or not, I know that sounds a little bit morbid, a little bit crazy, but no matter what happens to us, God is still going to be our refuge, even in death. All things are working together. If I've lived my life in such a way that He will bless me, and He will save me, and He will be my strength and my refuge. Now, how comforting is that to a family who's lost someone? It doesn't seem that comforting at first. Think about it in our own lives. No matter what happens, God will continue to be my strength. There are those maybe in this audience, in our family today, that are not Christians, that have never decided, you know what, it's time for me to take a hold of what Jesus has to offer me through baptism, that salvation that God gives. And maybe it's time for you. Or maybe there are some of us, and I know probably every single one of us, that are going through things that I could ask for forgiveness for, that I could say, you know what, I need to kind of make a new start. I need to try to make a new beginning. If you feel the need for us to pray for you today, if you don't want to do this publicly, you know, any of the people in this congregation would be glad to step aside with you and have a special prayer for you today and to pray for you on an ongoing basis for the struggles that you're going through. If you have a need today and you want to have the prayers of the church, you want to become a Christian today, this is a good opportunity. And we're going to sing the song that's been chosen, which I'm not sure what it is. 8:10. And Courtney chose this song, and it goes right along with my lesson. So good job, Courtney. So anyway, let's all stand and sing.